Once again, to all of you gathered here today, and those watching and listening online as well. I keep hearing from everyone who is watching that sometimes they can hardly tell that there's a screen here. The first Sunday it was set up, I was setting up the Advent candles and didn't even notice it and banged right into it with my head. So the scar is gone, but I'm certainly grateful for the folks who have put these in place for us. It's a big help. Share these words as we open up today. I come from my author, Henry Nouwen. Your true identity is as a child of God. This is the identity you have to accept. Once you have claimed it and settled in it, you can live in a world that gives you much joy as well as much pain. You can receive the praise as well as the blame that comes to you as an opportunity for strengthening your basic identity. Because the identity that makes you free is anchored beyond all human praise and blame. You belong to God, and it is as a child of God that you're sent into the world. Continuing on today with our Advent theme of when God moved into the neighborhoods, and looking at the first chapter of John, and today the title, the theme is Welcome to the Family, exploring that theme of becoming children of God. And I look forward to Thea hearing you reflect on those words and those themes today. A number of announcements you'll find in the bulletin, whether you received that by email or mail. I would mention next Sunday is our younger generation service. There'll be in-person Sunday school planned as well. Say that's knowing that the situation's changing in the area. You'll be well aware, reading the headlines, watching the news as well, that's we're teetering on red here. So change may be coming. Council's meeting this week, and invite you to just be listening there for any decisions that are made. I will make those known by email and phone if and when those happen. As you entered, you likely have been offered a gift discernment slates, a list of volunteers for the upcoming year. If you've not had a chance to grab one of those or one of our church directories, please do so on the way out. Our ushers can help you if you need that. And then for anyone who gets the church emails, those will be sent out that way, as well as the mailings that go out with bulletins and sermons. We'll include those in there. So hopefully everyone will have a chance to get those. As we've been saying so many times this year, appreciate your continued generosity, your giving. You'll see a note there from Alvin, our treasurer, in terms of how you can go about giving in these next few weeks and the means there and some dates as well. I've also asked him to note, make sure if you are using the envelopes for offerings to get all the information you need in there. That's really helpful for the tellers and others there. So you can find details about that in the bulletin as well. Thank you for everyone who contributed to the MCC kit drive. 44 kits, which is excellent, and those are off to the benefit shop and beyond. So thank you for your participation in that. Would also highlight the community care. Hearing from many opportunities that, for many of you, sorry, that's with everything going on this year, it can be easy to lose track of some of the needs that are out there in the community. And there are needs and opportunities, and community care is one that we've been partnered with for some time. So invite you, as you have a chance, to provide some support there. Would now read our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 71, verses 1 to 6. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of all those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign lords, my confidence since youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Trudy will now play for us Angels We Have Heard on High and Jesus Messiah, a bit of a medley there. Again, not singing at this time, but invite you to reflect quietly or hum along as the words appear on the screen.
Thank you.
This being the third Sunday of Advent, we'll now have our candle lighting pre-recorded. So Megan and Sean will be up on the screen now.
In Isaiah 41:10, we read, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Emmanuel, God with us, interrupt and open our minds to truly listen to all who speak and share this day, that we might hear your voice cry from many lips. May your light shine.
Trudy will now play for us, "Helpless and Hungry, and What Child Is This?" I invite you to please pray with me now. God, we reflect today on how Jesus was born as a child so that we could become your children as well, children who belong to you, children who are loved by you, children who are named and cared for by you. God, we know this is just as much a miracle as the miracle of Christ's birth. And God, we ask that you help us to live out of that identity. Help us to view and to treat others as our siblings, members of that same spiritual family. Help us when we struggle to get along with our sisters and brothers. Call us back to the table as our parents to sit down together again. God, we pray for our world today. We continue to thank you for the good news of vaccines. God, we can't imagine what it might be like to live through this all in some other time. So we're grateful for that. We pray for those who continue to work in healthcare and those working now to make those available. We pray for those who begin to receive them as well. God, we seek to remain vigilant in these weeks, and yet we pray that this would all come to bring rest and relief for us soon, for this weary world. God, we pray for our community, for teachers and students finishing their classes for the year, for those who continue to work from home or go out into work or workplaces, for those who volunteer and keep busy in other places as well, for those who are juggling parenting on top of everything else. God, we pray for those who are bedridden or bored, for lack of things to do or lack of people to see, and for those who are burnt out and barely hanging on, and everyone in between. God, bless the work of each of our hands. Bless the time that we have, each of us, these weeks. God, we lift up the rest of our time together now, and may your words speak to us as they're spoken, and may your servant Taya speak clearly the truth you have given to her. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading will now be read by Chris Richardson on the screen.
I'll be reading from John 1, 11 to 13. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God.
Morning. This is very fancy. Not used to this, sorry. There we go. Oh, sorry guys up there. I think my hair is too big. There we go. All right. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Loving Father, we give you thanks for this morning and for our being able to gather here together in person and virtually. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds to that which you would have us hear this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, it is my birthday this week, and anyone who knows me knows I love birthdays. Anyone's birthday, not just my own, although I'm a big fan of that one. In our family, we celebrate birthdays by having family and friends over. We enjoy a time of conversation and opening presents, and we enjoy a dinner and dessert of the birthday girl or boy's choice. Our most memorable was my niece's 10th birthday when she requested steak and McDonald's French fries. So that was an interesting meal, delicious, but unique. More recently, in the last few years, since John and I have been together and our two families have become one and have grown, I have taken to decorating for birthdays. I go all out. I like banners, a big happy birthday banner, and streamers, and balloons, and confetti. It's always with a theme, of course. We've had Star Wars themed, Hot Wheels, Toronto Maple Leafs, the Cars movie, you name it, we've probably done it. It's important for us to make our birthdays as special as possible, celebrating the day that this person so near and dear to us was born. And though 2020 has somehow found a way to throw a wrench into everything, this one? How about that? Is that good? Good. Though 2020 has found a way to put a wrench in everything, we've still found a way to keep those birthdays memorable. They just look a little bit different. We've had patio visits and balloons blowing in the wind. makeshift distanced photo booths, we found a way to continue to celebrate safely. It just looks different. I think the day of your birth is one that should most certainly be celebrated. The one day where it gets to be just about you, without having to feel guilty about wanting to eat all the cake and open up all the presents because it's just about you. It's so much fun. At Christmas, though technically it is still a birthday party, things are different. I can remember as a little kid having a strong urge to open all the beautifully wrapped presents under the tree, but knowing that I wasn't really to show just how much I wanted to rip them open, because that's not what Christmas is about. But even to this day, and I hope I'm not the only one in saying this, though I can restrain myself and keep my focus, there's still something ever so tempting about seeing a gift bag with your name on it, or a perfectly wrapped box with a giant red bow with the gift tag addressed to you. There's something about the wrapping that makes it so enticing, and you just have to know what's inside. One year I was out with my mom and my niece at Costco at Christmas time, which was my first mistake. Costco and Christmas don't mix very well together. But we walked by one of the gifts I had bought for my niece already, and I remember pointing it out to her and saying, "Ooh, look at this, isn't this so cool?" Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And she looked at it and didn't really think much of it. She kind of shrugged it off and just kept walking. And I almost returned it, thinking from her reaction, she clearly didn't want it. However, as we all know, with the Christmas season generally comes a lot of hustle and bustle, and it's completely slipped my mind and I ran out of time to return it. So I crossed my fingers and hoped that somehow she had forgotten about it, and with the magic of Christmas, she would be delighted to receive it. And she was. It was the first one she wanted to open. She gravitated right to it and even commented she chose it because she liked the way that it was wrapped. She ripped it open and with a gasp, she said, "It's just what I always wanted." In the season of Advent, in the unpredictable, outlandish year that is 2020, we're spending time learning through the first chapter of the book of John and exploring what it means that God chose to dwell among us as Emmanuel, God with us, specifically chapter 1, verses 11 to 13. And what struck me at first read as I began preparing for this morning were these words around becoming children of God and being born of God. Terms that have always given me those goosebumpy feelings. Do you know what I mean? That it's so extraordinary to think of yourself as a child of God. I'm immediately transported to being a kid again with that excitement and wide open heart and natural acceptance. And I'm in trying to keep with that frame of mind, I look around the sanctuary here this morning and I see our beautiful Christmas decorations and our lovely tree and our Advent wreath and candles that are lit. And we're reminded of why we are here this morning on this third Sunday of Advent, celebrating the anticipation of Christ's birth. Now, I remember what it was like to be a child and working with children each and every week. When I imagine Jesus as a child, it sometimes seems so incredibly foreign to me. How could the Savior of our world come to us as a tiny, vulnerable, precious baby? In a way, I can recognize how, at the time of his birth, some would see or hear of this holy infant, this special child, and not be able to quite comprehend the incredible importance that he held. The lack of eye-catching wrapping caused some to pass him by. And not just at his birth, but throughout his life. He looked like just a man, a peaceful man, a man that went against what was expected of the coming Messiah. This is so typical of human nature, in my opinion. Like my niece and the Christmas gift, we see something that is unassuming and plain or ordinary, and we think nothing of it, maybe even scoff at it and turn away from it. But when it's appealing to the eye, comes with a large presence, flashing lights, or fancy wrapping paper, we're suddenly interested and drawn to it. We heard read, He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now, this could be referring to a few different situations. It could be in reference to him arriving in his hometown later in life to those whom did not accept him, as we read in the book of Mark, chapter 6. It says, Jesus left and went back to his hometown. His followers went with him. On the Sabbath day, Jesus taught in the synagogue, and many people heard him. They were amazed and said, Where did this man get this teaching? How did he get such wisdom? Who gave it to him? And where did he get the power to do miracles? Isn't he just the carpenter we know? Mary's son? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And don't his sisters still live here in town? So they had a problem accepting him. To them, he was so ordinary. How could he be so wise? His actions didn't match the person they were imagining in their mind's eye. This verse could also be in reference to the very fact that he came into the world in the flesh as a man, coming into his own creation, living among his children, and not everyone rejoicing and recognizing and accepting him as the savior of the world. Had I been there, I'd like to think I'd be able to see past the lack of obvious gift wrapping and recognize Jesus for the true gift to the world that he is and was, and be able to receive him. But then again, we are but imperfect human beings. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. There is a simplicity in these verses that I appreciate. It doesn't say, to those who received him and had a perfect track record, he gave the right to be children of God. It doesn't say, to those who received him and passed the final exam with flying colors, they get to become children of God. It doesn't say, to those who received him and completed X, Y, and Z, they get to become children of God. It says, to those who received him, he gave them the right to be children of God, period. Yes, you have to do the work. You have to make that decision to receive him, and you have to commit to God and his ways each and every day. But when you do, there isn't an exam or a waiting period or a judgment hearing. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And when we become children of God, we are walking into and accepting the call of the gospel of discipleship. So what does discipleship mean? We hear that word often. We've heard it before. So what exactly does that look like? I've heard it explained as becoming like Jesus. Now, for my type A personality, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I'm ready to get out a checklist, make a title at the top that says becoming like Jesus, and I make bullet points down the list, and I get ready to check things off as I get things done. And if only it were that simple. If only it were focused on our physical performance and we could just tick off the boxes to complete the list of requirements. But Jesus wasn't just another man sent to us as a baby to be an inspiration to us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Cynthia L. Rigby writes, "The humanity of God is no mere costume. It is not a temporary condition or a 33-year experiment on the part of God. The real word became real flesh. This is the content of the gospel. This is the miracle of Christmas. It is through entering into our flesh that Jesus reveals to us who God actually is, has been, and will be. It is through plunging deeply into the sinful, ignorant realities of our existence in this world that Jesus restores us to that for which he created us. It is in this unlikely way that he is our true light." We've read the stories and heard the sermons. Jesus came into the world to be an example to us and to show us how it should be done, which goes against our imperfect human ways. Further in the book of John, we see many examples of whom Jesus was. In John chapter 8, he taught, "Let anyone who is without sin throw the first stone." In John chapter 13, he says, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And as we all know from chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him." All these verses and examples of Jesus and his teachings and the life he led give us a glimpse into the family of God. We must recognize and remember that the giving and receiving of this inheritance is made possible only by God's grace and love for us. God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is our eternal Father. Our Father. And when we become children of God, he welcomes us into this family of faith, a family bursting at the seams with hope, love, joy, and peace. The birth of Jesus that we are so eagerly anticipating to celebrate is a phenomenal gift to the entire world. 2020. I don't think any of us will hear 2020 again and not be reminded of this roller coaster of a year we have experienced. And I don't want to reiterate what's been said before. I'm sure we're all tired of hearing the word unprecedented. I am. We all know this year has been testing. It's tested our patience, our kindness to one another, our understanding, our faith. But what has been born for you this year? It's easy for us to question God and ask why we are having to experience this. There is so much heartbreak around us. There is so much sadness and such an incredible amount of loss on so many levels. But what has been born? For me, I've been given a reminder to be patient. A reminder that we are all held in the palm of his hand. A true appreciation for technology. I am the first to admit I am the least tech-savvy person in our family. You can ask my husband, John, but I am very thankful in these past 8 or 9 months. I don't know what we would have done without Zoom and FaceTime and even email and texting. What's been born for me is an increased ability to recognize what is truly essential as well. Being able to find what we can be grateful for, even in the darkest of times, has been born. So I challenge that you ponder in these last few weeks of this treacherous year when we may be feeling the weight of this year the very most. What has been born of God for you this year? We know that in just a few weeks, it'll already be time to pack away all the pretty decorations for another 334-ish days. Boxes and bags will be put away or recycled. When I see my kids and youth back after Christmas break, they'll have trouble recalling all the presents they received and all that their families did to make Christmas extra special. It won't take long for the palpable anticipation to leave the air and life will go back to quote-unquote normal. But are we able to do things differently this year? Could we find a way to extend the wonder of this season? Do we have the ability to call upon Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, to help us keep the spirit of acceptance and gratitude a bit longer? In preparation for this morning, I came across a quote by Kimberly Bracken Long, and she writes, "If we are paying attention, we recognize too that God is in the ordinary moments of our life, in the making of lunches and the folding of laundry, in the daily kisses goodbye. In the moment when we look into the eyes of one whom the world considers unlovely at best and unworthy of notice at worst. It is why we aim to live the Christian life by not only talking about it or thinking about it, but by doing it. Why our prayers are not only those of the heart, but those of the hands and the feet. It is not enough for us to check off our boxes. We must actively work in word and deed to become more like Jesus, to share the news that we are all welcome here. All are welcome in our family of faith. Through Jesus, God has extended to us a no explanation needed, no strings attached love, and an infinite amount of grace. And we must continue to extend that to those around us. In this season of Advent, we are waiting and anticipating the celebration of the most extraordinary gift extended to us, Emmanuel, God with us, who came to us not in shiny wrapping paper, but in the form of a remarkable, extraordinary baby who came to save the world. It can be so difficult to wait for something we desire, but God waits with us, patiently, as we discover what it means to be children of God and part of this family of faith. We are all invited to relationship with Jesus. We are all invited to become children of God. And when we become children of God, when we are born of God, I believe with all my heart that God has masses of balloons prepared, confetti everywhere, probably an infinite amount of streamers, and a gigantic banner that reads, "Welcome to the family." Amen.
Thank you, Taya. That image of Jesus coming without fancy wrapping, in ordinary form, so many centuries ago, and in ordinary form in our days, these days. So will you receive him, and will you be looking? Thank you again. Trudy will now play for us Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. And following that, Taya will share a blessing of the offering and a benediction.
Great. Before we receive the benediction, just a few notes to share. So just a reminder that the ushers will lead us out, so if you would please remain seated until you are indicated to do so, to make your way out. And a reminder, if you are requiring assistance, to just please hold tight. Is that it? Okay, thanks. Sorry. I'm very thankful for the notes here so I don't forget. May you receive these words of blessing from the book of Romans, chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.